Okay. She should be.
Radio.
That's it for her. Okay, let me get a pencil paper. I just want to get in the whole, make sure I have the title right and the name of the co-author. And then so I'll make sure that you're able to say this idea that the most gratifying part was to get the stories out.
And that it really ended up being, you know, a very kind of natural, organic process with these men, which is, you know, it was, and it's rewarding to be able to tell their stories and to help them give back through the book.
Very good. And where can you get the book?
You can get it anywhere online, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and they're in some bookstores, not in all bookstores, but it's easily available online.
Right, and do you have a website for the book?
Yeah, we do. Well, we host a website in general called, or that's named widowedparent.org.
Oh,
and
right. So
you can find information on the book there.
Yeah, we're going to talk in the second segment, or maybe even the first, what they can find there. So, all right, it's called The Group.
The Group?
Seven
Widowed Fathers.
Fathers Reimagine Life, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And the Don
Rosenstein.
That's him. Spell your full name.
Oh, it's Justin Yopp, Y-O-P-P.
Okay. We're ready to rock and roll.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so the first segment is now 11 minutes, so we'll have time to cover a little bit on the website, too, but you wait for me. I'll ask you about that, okay?
Okay, great.
All right, so we're ready to go. Okay, the music is being tested now, and we can be quiet.
We can hear it.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. Every week when you hear that little ditty, you know that this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? Well, the fountain of truth about aging. And it is the first time that there's been a nationally syndicated show on this topic, as far as we know, because we are coming of age. Only 5 years ago, I was saying that 10,000 people every day turn the age of 60, but today, 10,000 people every day turn 65. And so we're looking at different aspects of our life. But aging does not start at 60 or 65. It actually starts at 30. And what happens? If around the age of 30, you're a young man, you have young kids, you have a vision of your life, you're continually being told that you're going to have the greatest longevity of any generation ever. You're in the midst of life, as Ambrose Bierce used to say in his great poems and his writing. You're in the midst of life and you're caught. And you're caught because your wife passes away. Who do you talk to? What do you say? What do you do with the rest of your life? How do you take a discombobulated life that's bewildering and put it back together, particularly in the age of longevity, when all of a sudden perhaps you feel that life is not as long as you thought it was? and many illusions drop away from you. Well, if you're a woman, you may have a lot of support groups, a lot of friends that you can deal with and talk to, and there's an openness about it. But if you're a young father, my goodness, what happens? Well, what happens is you read a book, and that book is called The Group, Seven Widowers, Widowed Fathers, Reimagine Life, Reimagining Life. Now, of course, for all of us, in most of our programs here, we talk about life reimagined because we are retiring and we're going into the future and we're thinking about what can we do to make this part of our life better, different, more contributory than the last. But we're talking something a little bit different now. And many of you have written to me saying that your heart is broken because of your children and because of deaths that they've suffered. So today we have Dr. Justin Yap, who is the co-author of that very book, The Group, Seven Widowed Fathers Reimagine Life, along with his co-author, Don Rosenstein. And he's going to be talking about the journey that he took in writing this book and the journey that the people that he's writing about took. You'll be fascinated by it. I first heard him speak at Good Grief. You all know, if you listen to the show, that I'm a grief facilitator there for kids who've lost their parents a little bit early in life, as I did. And it was an amazing, amazing training day. And he was the key speaker. So I'm bringing him to you. Justin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the chance to talk with you and to reach your audience today.
Right, so let's jump into the question that I proposed, which is, how did you give a forum to widowed fathers to be able to tell their story? What was your journey in writing this book?
Well, you know, it really started very organically. My co-author, Don, and I are both, I'm a psychologist, he's a psychiatrist, we work here at the Cancer Hospital at UNC in Chapel Hill, and we just had one too many young mothers who had passed away from cancer and got to really thinking about what their husbands must be going through and all that they must be experiencing. And we actually looked to refer these men who we had met, to refer them to a support group specifically for widowed fathers, and quickly found that there were no such groups like that in our area or really anywhere else that we could tell either. So it dawned on us that this was an unmet need and that these men were likely feeling isolated and likely overwhelmed with their circumstances. So we decided to form a group, form a support group, and we got these seven guys together. And we actually intended for the group to last for six sessions. That was our plan going in. And by the end of that first evening, these men had already started to bond and had already challenged us, to be honest. It challenged us on our assumption of doing this for six sessions. So we kept it open and kept going, and the men actually met for nearly 4 years together, and over that time helped each other through really unspeakable grief and overwhelming challenges of helping their children grieve, putting their homes back together, and as we imply in the title, having to reimagine a life at age 42 that they had not anticipated having to do.
Yep. And, you know, one of the things that we know in the field of gerontology is that men who are over the age of 74 or 75, they actually have more suicides than teenagers. And one of the identifying reasons is isolation and the inability to socialize after they've lost a spouse at that age. But what's going on with the 30, 35, 40-year-old male? Did you find a great reluctance to tell the story or an openness, or how did you create a forum where men would open up?
Well, I tell you what, so certainly there are some, you know, there are some stereotypes about men opening up, and a lot of those stereotypes I believe are true, and they're stereotypes for a reason. And it's not easy, not as easy certainly for men to open up in this kind of setting as it is for women. And we kind of believe that one reason why we were able to have success is that the support group was built as a father's group, as a, you know, widowed father's group, not as a men's group. So, and we had several of the fathers voice that they came and decided to join the support group explicitly because of their children, not because necessarily that they needed it for their own grief, although that's, I think, ended up being the heart of it. But really the ticket in the door was, I can join this group because I want to be and I need to be a better father for my children who just lost their mom. So that really was, like I said, the ticket in the door for some of these men. And we heard from, most, if not all, the men that they really did feel isolated and alone in their grief. And some of them talked about having friends or colleagues at work who were divorced or single who tried to relate to them. And while that was appreciated, it really did not hit the target for these men. Each one's going through their own aspect of pain, but certainly, being a solo father due to a death and being a solo father due to divorce carries a lot of different differences.
So one of the things we've learned with good grief is that everyone's grief is different and that you can't
impose
your views and your thoughts on it. But, when you said that the ticket in the door was the kids, something very unrelated came to mind, but I think it's a great life lesson. We were down south working with a group who gave food stamps to older adults, and nobody came. They simply did not ask for their food stamps until we made a campaign about getting the food stamps for their grandchildren. So that was their ticket to do it. Yep, they came for the food stamps for the whole family. They wouldn't have come for the food stamps for themselves. So that's a great list for all of us if we're trying to talk to someone. Sometimes if you look to see what's important to them outside themselves, you can really get through. And we're all trying to get through.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy, or great story, and it certainly dovetails exactly with what we were talking about. And that sounds very similar to the kind of experience that we have with these men. But I tell you what, once we got them in the room, and once they began to connect with each other on that first night, their ability to discuss, process, be open about their grief and their struggles was quite simply amazing, and it really laid waste to any stereotypes you might have about men not being able to do it. So I think it really is the barrier is, in this case, getting the men to the group. I think once they're there, at least our experience has been that it works and that these men do it beautifully. So it's not that they don't have the ability, but I think that there's certainly some hang-ups about it.
Before we leave for our next segment and round up a little bit, I just want everybody to know where your website is. Now, the book is called The Group, A Seven Widowed Fathers Reimagined Life, and that you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, in your bookstore, ask for it. But just give us your website as well.
Yeah, so the website that we created is called widowedparent.org, and it is for, just like it sounds, widowed parents, so moms and dads who have lost a spouse or a partner and are raising children on their own, and it has features a series of short videos of the men in our group, actually, who are featured in the book, as well as other resources for people needing to reimagine their life in the midst of unpredictable and unimaginable grief.
So when we come back, we're going to actually talk about some of those resources. We're going to talk about some of the issues that came up, some of the top issues that were revealed, some of the surprises that Justin got, and also what he is most proud of or most excited about that came out of all this. So this is an important forum that he's created, an ongoing forum. It's going to be taking many, many next steps. And for those of you who either are suffering grief in your own life because you have lost a spouse, don't forget that there is an organization called Good Grief. If you're in this position of these widowed fathers, don't forget the book, The Group. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
So it runs away, right? The time runs right by us.
Yeah, sure does, doesn't it?
Amazing. So what's now? How much is the next session?
9 minutes.
9 minutes. Okay, so obviously what we're going to talk about now, as promised, is what were some of the issues, some of the main issues that come up? And I'm sure you know them by heart, so you don't have to. It's an easy question. And also, you mentioned that there are resources on your website. Can you talk about that a little bit too?
Sure. And there's not a whole lot, just because it's not been really studied all that much, but sure, we can talk about that.
I think you have to say that. I think you have to say that.
Yeah, I think that's part of the point.
Okay, so Stuart, we have to just be quiet now.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, host of Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. I have a few housekeeping details. Don't you hate it when people say, something is coming, like you go to the movies and there's a great movie up there, beautiful poster, and it says, coming soon, and you don't know when it is. And you say, wait a minute, what is soon? How is soon? Well, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm so sorry. We already have up the first four or five articles on the first blog about successful aging. Now, there's plenty of blogs about health care, and there's plenty of blogs about money after retirement and travel after retirement. You can take all these blogs and read them, or you could read my blog, which is called Aging for Beginners. And I am very proud to say that one of the largest online newsletters in the world is our publisher, and that's Bottom Line Personal. You may already be a subscriber to their newsletter, but this is free. And I have taken over the aging section of Bottom Line Personal, and it's called Aging for Beginners. It's up there now. The blog itself is a beginner. We've got a couple of articles on how to downsize your home. We have articles on don't be busy, be blissful after retirement. And we have a brand-new article on what kind of grandparent are you. So we have a few interesting things already up. There's a lot of videos also. Available to you. So if you go to Bottom Line Personal and put my name in, Adrienne Berg, you'll get that. But what's coming soon on our website will be all of the social media you can clue into, the Facebook, the LinkedIn, the Twitter, and get some very, very interesting immediate information that'll be a lot of fun. I'll just give you one hint. We had a terrific guest last week, Risa Olinsky, one of the world-renowned fitness coaches who just wrote a book called Why Walk. And we have her book all over our social media. So if you're interested in getting that, you can get that and all kinds of discounts and fun stuff. But for now, go ahead and read Aging for Beginners. So right now we are speaking with Dr. Justin Yap, and he is the co-author with Don Rosenstein of The Group, Seven Widowed Fathers Reimagine Life. And one of the things that we promised you before our little break was that we would talk about resources, that we would get down to business. But Justin, one of the complaints that you have, I don't know if I'll call it a complaint, one of the observations you have is there aren't a lot of resources. Tell us what there are and what you're trying to develop here.
Well, yeah, so you put your finger on it. That's exactly the problem, is that there's really not a whole lot of resources specifically for a widowed parent. Now, there are quite a bit for children, and some of those children bereavement organizations do provide support to parents, and Good Grief, which obviously you're very involved with, is one of those organizations. And so sometimes that's the best way for parents to get widowed parents to get support is through an organization that would otherwise primarily focus on their children. But if you're looking for an organization that really, or a service that really speaks to your experience as a widowed parent, that's pretty hard to find. And that's one of the reasons why we started this group and why we started our website and why we're doing some research in the area, because there's really just not that much known. It's not been completely ignored by any means, but if you are a widowed parent living in Oklahoma City or living in Salt Lake City or anywhere in the country, the chances of you finding a support group specific to your situation, your need as a widowed mother, as a widowed father, you're going to have a really hard time. And so that was one of the motivations for us starting the website, widowedparent.org, was that if nothing else, widowed parents could hopefully find this website and read some of the, you know, stories and some of the suggestions and some of the kind of, you know, identified needs that we've put out there, and they can watch the videos of the fathers talking about their struggles and their successes in healing and growing, and at least feel like they have a home, and at least feel like someone is tending to what they're going through in a way that's not just about the children. So again, I wish there was support groups like the ones that we run, you know, available everywhere, but they're quite simply not. And for whatever's out there is a little bit hard to find. So it's very much my opinion that widowed mothers and widowed fathers are an overlooked and underserved subset of the population that there needs to be more resources for. And we're starting to do that, but there's a lot more work to do than there has work that's been done.
So, you know, of course, the reason that I'm so involved with Good Grief is I was one of those children. I will tell that there was nothing for my mother. In this case, it was my father who died. There was nothing for my mother. And guess what? That was 55 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
More. And there's still nothing for my mother. So,
yeah.
It's been a very slow growth industry, we'll say, widowhood and widowerhood. But it's wonderful that you're doing something about it. And what I'd like to ask you, you said a magic word. You said the needs. You can go there and you can go on your website and see some of the needs. So as a person who just wants to help somebody, hears that there's been a death, we generally give condolences. We'll send a card after the funeral, everything. I used to tell a joke, it's after the funeral that everything really drops dead.
Sure.
Because there's a big hoo-ha and then everybody disappears. What are the needs? Well, we have a couple of minutes, and then we'll go on to that in the next segment as well. Is it all common sense, or did you get some surprises at what the problems were?
We definitely got some surprises. The men over the 4 years that they met and that we led the support group taught us so much, and of course that's all detailed in the book. But what the challenges that these men faced, and they all faced it on day one after their wives died, there really are kind of three broad categories of which a lot of specific challenges fall into, and those are their own grief. And, you know, when you lose your spouse at, I think, any age, you're always mourning what was lost in the past, and you're mourning what would never be in the future. And that latter part was certainly more relevant for these men who lost their wives in their 30s and their 40s. So it was really a loss of an imagined and an assumed future that would never be. And so one category is their own grief. The other category would be helping their children grieve, and that's something that certainly none of these men, or I don't think any parent, feels like they're an expert in, right? They desperately want the best for their kids. But it's hard to know exactly what to do, and it's hard to know how to help an 8-year-old or how to help a 17-year-old grieve the loss of their parent. And then the other category is running a household on their own and, you know, having to pick up the baton, the parenting baton that's left for them to carry on their own. And whether it's, you know, grocery shopping, or whether it's paying the bills, or whether it's planning for summer schedules, or there's an endless, you know, parenting is a humbling business to begin with. But when you're doing it on your own, and when you're doing it in the midst of your own grief, trying to help your children grieve, and at the same time trying to keep a job because you're the
difficult.
The only income earner right now,
right.
And then
well,
figure out how to
manage
a home.
Yeah, we're going to look at that when we come back. We're going to look at things like income. Look at things with boys and girls. There are differences in parenting when it comes to grief. And we're going to unpack the whole process.
For my age. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Okay, very, very good. So
that time does fly by.
It does fly by. So what I wanted to say was, we will talk a little bit about whether you saw a difference between the those who had girls and boys.
Okay.
I'll talk a little bit about that panel, which did surprise me in a couple of things.
Yeah.
About the dads, and I do want to talk about money, and see if that was ever an issue, because I'm a financial gerontologist, so I'm very interested in that myself. And then, again, here's where I want to ask you, is there anything that you particularly want to cover? Because it does go fast, and you'll be shocked how the fourth one goes.
Yeah, okay.
Anything that we're missing?
No, I mean, Don and I are both thankful and grateful that these men are willing to help others by, you know, encouraging us to share their story in this book. And the book's really a gift from them. And that in our partnership with the men, we don't, you know, all the money we make, any money we make from this is going back to the program. So this is not about making money. This is really about helping these men get back by sharing their story.
Okay, I'm going to have you say that at the top, you'll see. All right,
okay.
So we are ready. We just have to be quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and we are flying through this show. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the only syndicated show that deals with successful aging and all of its components. One of those components is grief. We talk about it in a lot of ways. And for those of you who know me and you know the show, Good Grief is my charity where I'm a volunteer. I believe a lot in volunteerism and voluntourism, going on trips all over the world to give a little bit and contribute more. And in the course of having a training day over at Good Grief, I had the privilege of listening to the keynote speaker, who is my guest today, Dr. Justin Yap, and he is the co-author with Don Rosenstein of The Group, Seven Widowed Fathers Reimagine Life. And there are parallels to losing a loved one later on in life, but there's also something extremely unique about being both a father of young kids, a breadwinner, and somebody who is now by themselves. We talk so much about single moms. Single moms are almost an aphorism in our language, an idiom. You know, that's a single mom. But single dad, it just doesn't roll off the tongue that way. We don't have a category in our head about that. But we will hear a little bit more. One piece of housekeeping, go over to our website. Remember, this show is your show. If you go to generationboldradio.com, and you go to Ask Adrienne tab, you will be able to not only ask questions, but offer advice to others and also say the kind of guests and topics you want us to cover. It really is your show, and we really do pay attention. And we are beginning a big social media campaign, so you'll be able to meet us on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and, of course, Twitter. Okay, going back to our current topic, Justin, I mean, one of the things I asked you almost from the beginning was, what did you get out of it? What was the main thing that you took from it that informed your life that you'd like to let everybody know about?
Boy, I tell you what, spending 4 years with these men, I've had a lot of lessons, and it certainly impacts the way, as a psychologist who works with cancer patients, it really affects the way that I do my job, and especially now when I'm meeting with parents who have a terminal illness and are considering how that's going to impact their family currently and in the future. You know, the communication that happens, that needs to happen, should happen between spouses and between family members prior to death really is important at any age. And what we've seen with younger parents is that, you know, the fathers in our group, each of them to some extent had some regrets, and they wish they would have had conversations with their wives. They wish they would have known something differently. They wish they could have gone back in time. And, you know, I think some of that is inescapable, but there's some things we can do in advance to ease the burden, you know, after death. And so when I work with my families now, it really changes the way that I practice and the conversations that I encourage the families I work with to have with each other.
Let me ask you, what were some of those things that they wished they had said?
Oh, boy. Well, we had some We had a couple of fathers whose wives told them to remarry, to be happy, to date again, and when it came time for the fathers to do that, knowing that made all the difference. And then in contrast, we had some fathers who never had that conversation and never had that permission or that freedom or that, you know, kind of knowing what their wives would have wanted for them in that regard. And that didn't make a difference just with the fathers, but also with their kids, because it's not easy when your dad starts dating again. And if the kids know that this is what mom would have wanted, that goes a long way. So that's kind of one obvious point. And then there's a million housekeeping and child rearing in examples. And then there's basic ones about where the logon passwords and where just conversations that too many of us don't have, and that sometimes
practical.
When we know, yeah, so when we know
practical.
Death is coming, yeah, we have, it's really hard, and we have the opportunity to have these conversations, and so I'm much more cognizant about encouraging my families to have that now based on what these seven men taught me.
So are you actually using a protocol where, you know, you say, well, here's a paper. Don't forget to tell them where the keys are or what the passwords are, how to get on Facebook, who you want to invite to the funeral. I mean, is it that cut and dried? I'm a lawyer, so I'm thinking, oh, good,
yeah.
We'll make a form. You know, we'll create a form.
Well, I like how you think. Now, that's somewhat dependent upon how open the parents are or people are to having that conversation. And you have certainly have some that are willing to go into the weeds and have all that and want to have that and will walk through it with them. And some who, you know, that's a hard conversation to have for a lot of reasons. One, primarily because it acknowledges that you're going to die and that you're going to leave your children. And that is, you know, unquestionably heartbreaking to ponder, and it can be really difficult to plan for. So to answer your question, I don't have a form necessarily, but I certainly have a list of things that, depending on the openness of the parent, I will go through with them.
Now, one of the things that I'll tell you said that alarmed me, and I think maybe a lot of the listeners are responding to this, has nothing to do with your book. This is a wonderful book. It's the group, Seven Widowed Fathers Reimagine Life. You said, well, you know what, I'm a cancer, you know, I'm working in psychology with cancer patients, and too many young women were dying.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What is happening? We have so many tests and pretests for breast cancer and so on. Let's just take a moment. What are you just seeing in that arena before we go back up to the issue of widowhood?
Well, you know, if you look at the history of cancer, it almost stands alone among any other illnesses in that you know, it's been around forever, and there's been a lot of advances, and a lot of those advances are very encouraging, but there's a reason why, you know, there are hospitals dedicated to cancer, and that's because we've not been able to get it and not been able to get ahead of it in a sense to, you know, make it not happen. So there's, you know, I can't tell you the percentages, but I can tell you just my personal experience. There are a lot and too many young mothers and young fathers who are dying from cancer. I honestly can't tell you if that's more or less than it used to be. You know, certainly the survival rates in general are improving. But improving is one thing. You know, having improved to the point where this isn't happening, we're obviously not there at all.
Right, right. So one of the things, of course, that we do ask you, because you see it not just from the point of view of the group, but the women, as they are dying, are they taking up the helm and insisting on the husband learning about what's going on in the home? Is there a proactive, and I'm going to say that in almost a business way, a proactive attitude toward by young women today? Because in my day and age, you didn't even say the word cancer.
Right.
You did not. Sometimes you said see, or you never talked about it at all, let alone prepare the family. Forget about that. It was almost an embarrassment. It was something it was so terrifying it would never be discussed. But are you seeing a difference in young women today in their ability to take charge a little bit of their family's future, even though they're in distress?
But, you know, I really see it across the spectrum. We detail this in the book, where one of the fathers, Bruce, his wife, once she found out that her illness was terminal, which was pretty soon before she died, she she wrote him out, you know, family rules, things to do with their three daughters, all the passwords, how to schedule the summer. And she really did all that she could during that brief time to pass that baton and to encourage him to move forward in his life and to date again. And she really went there. And then we have others who don't. And we certainly work with parents who sometimes it's a little difficult, or it's very difficult to balance the, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to fight this cancer with the conversations of what happens if or when I die. It almost feels like it needs to be one or the other. Either we're on team cure and we're going for it, or we're talking about it not working. And really both those things can be true at the same time. You can fight like hell, and you can do everything you can to a cure, to extend your life, and at the same time have those necessary and important conversations. You know, I sometimes draw the analogy that, you know, I don't plan on getting in a car wreck today. I'm not expecting to, but I do have insurance just in case I do. And so you may not plan on dying. You're not. That's not the goal. That's not where we're going. But it's a possibility now more than before. So let's have some insurance policy in case it does. How can we better prepare your future, your family for the future?
Well,
sometimes that's easy
analogy
to have. Sometimes it's not.
Todd, there was a book a long time ago called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. And it was a cancer book. It was for cancer surviving. And it did have the implication that the way you think and the way you deny your illness will allow you to live longer. And that is a problem only because the practical aspects, the goodbye aspects, sometimes go by the board. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about what you can do for others and what you can do for yourself, for your own prevention. Okay, so I did not ask about money. We didn't have time. I'll do that up front. And this is where you can tell people that the book also, you know, is a charitable endeavor.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. And is this going to air this Sunday?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not Mother's Day. I'm sorry, Mother's Day's next week. I was thinking that might be a good tie-in, but maybe I'll mention that. If you're talking about how to help others, just thinking about those widowed fathers out there who people may know, especially on Mother's Day.
Well, that's very good because that gives people a time to do that kind of help. I think that's great. That's very, very good, actually. So you're going to get an email. It airs this Sunday, different times in different states, you know.
Okay,
but,
yeah, sure.
But 10 to 11 in most places on Sunday morning.
Okay.
Some places Saturday night. You can always hear it on your app. BizTalk has
BizTalk,
an app.
Okay.
And so that you could hear. But then next Wednesday, you get on the front page of the website.
Oh, all right.
And
okay.
It gets archived. Now, on that one, we need a picture of the book.
Okay. I'll send that
we
to you.
We can put a picture of the book. Okay, so we're ready. Okay. Now, this is 8 minutes.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, very quick on housekeeping. If you've got a topic or a guest that you have in mind, please go to our website, generationboldradio.com. Go to Ask Adrienne and tell Adrienne instead. Let me know who you want to hear or what topic you want covered. For those of you who didn't hear already, we're having a big social media campaign around my new blog, which is called Aging for Beginners, and that you will find at Bottom Line Personal. I'm one of the new bloggers for Bottom Line Personal, one of the largest newsletters in the United States, and I'm taking up the aging space, Aging for Beginners. So you can take a look at that, But pretty soon we'll have all of those references right on the website, generationboldradio.com. I want to go back to Dr. Justin Yap, a co-author of the group, Seven Widowed Fathers Reimagine Life. First, one of the things we briefly mentioned was the practical problem of being a breadwinner and the money. And many years ago, I was a divorce lawyer, and we used to say, well, the value of homemakers, of women staying at home, was $1 million over the course of their lifetime. We used to use that to get money for during divorces in the old days. But it's true. It's very expensive to get somebody to do what your wife did. So was that an issue in the group?
The financial issue? Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm also saying
Women
worked too, and they lost their paycheck. So
absolutely, and they lost their they lost their paycheck, and not, you know, it's not as if, at least for the men in our group, all their wives died from cancer. So a lot of them had prolonged illnesses, so it wasn't as if they just stopped working when they died, but they had to stop working long before. The fathers had to take time off from their work to care for their wives and their family, and it completely disrupted their financial situation. Really, I believe for most, they would say that their wife's illness during that point disrupted their finances probably as much as anything, just because you know, despite insurance and all that, it is the financial toxicity that goes along with a prolonged cancer treatment is severe for a lot of families. So it wasn't as if these men were just coming into this clean or coming into this without already having taken a financial hit. We had a couple of fathers that had to move. They had to move to smaller houses, homes, which on one hand makes sense. On the other hand, it's another loss, and it's another thing to grieve. And when you're asking your child, or you're having to have your child move out of the home that he or she associates with, you know, his or her mom, that's another loss. And that was due to financial necessities makes sense, but it's another loss.
Now, let me, I have to give a shout out to the memory of my mother. That was the one thing she literally almost killed herself making sure did not happen, which was that we didn't have to move. That was harder.
Is that
because
right?
my father who died was the sole breadwinner in those days. That was not an easy thing for her to pull off, and she did. So thanks, Mom. But I want to go back to the money. I want everyone to know that this book does not, the proceeds of the group, does not go into your pocket. Where does it go?
Yeah, that's right. So Don and I wrote the book, but it's really the father's story, and they not only allowed us to write the book, but they encouraged us to write the book. They encouraged us to use their real names, tell their real stories, in the hopes that the book would be informative and inspirational, not just to widowed fathers, but really for anyone who's experienced adversity or loss in their lives. And so in the spirit of the partnership with these men, we're any money that comes in from the book, we're donating back to our widowed parent program. So this is not about Don and I making money, and we certainly don't want to be seen as or make any kind of profit off these men's story. This has really been a unique partnership with these seven men, and one way to honor that is that whatever proceeds we get goes back to the program. It's funny, the men encouraged us actually not to do that. They said, you know, you wrote the book, you deserve the, you know, whatever money comes in, but that was nice of them to say that, but that's not what we chose to do.
Yeah, it was a very special relationship. Now, you know, before we leave, you work in the world of people who have cancer, and you help them psychologically. But what do you see? We're all told, I cannot tell you how many cancer specialists I've had as a guest on this show, but they're the doctors. They tell you three things. Eat right, don't smoke, you know, you get the idea. And that's great for prevention. Is there anything that you've picked up in your own life that you see that you are trying to do personally to be as healthy as you can?
Well, yeah, some of the work I do is also working with children and adolescents who have cancer, and so it's not just my own health, but it's worrying about my own kids. And
right.
You know, this that's one of the pitfalls, I think, to working in an oncology setting, and for my purposes, you know, providing counseling to people struggling with cancer is that it can make you go home, and it can sometimes make you a little hyper aware of the problem. So I think kind of finding the balance between living a healthy life and knowing some of the risk and not taking all the stress home from work and not overreaching, because that's certainly true with my work with the support group. You know, I love my wife and I always appreciated her, but I love her and appreciate her even more now that I have worked with men who have lost theirs. And there are things that my wife does for me and our family that I probably took for granted, or I didn't even maybe fully realize or appreciate. But now seeing what some of these men struggle with, I can go home after group and see my wife and really have a deeper appreciation for what I have, and know how fortunate I am, but also know how vulnerable life can be.
Well, that's so beautifully said, particularly for our type of show, because we do learn that part of good health is gratitude and acknowledging what we have, and part of it is leaving it behind. In the grief group, at the end of every single session when we're finished with the kids, we have something called post-group, where we basically leave it behind. And everybody mm-hmm. listening has a job, a concern, a volunteer position, a worry. And the ability to leave it behind is one of the greatest skills. And if that is the way you see your mental health, it even gives us a bigger incentive to do that. So I thank you so much, Justin. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
And everybody else, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Done. Can you believe it?
All right.
You know, everybody starts and says, oh, how am I going to get through this? Oh, my God, it's forever. Well, there you
it
go.
It flies by. That's just as you said it would. It certainly did.
Okay, take care. It was terrific.
Well, thank
and
you so
sure
much. I appreciate you doing this, and I'll look to hear it on Sunday and then look for it on the website.
Right, and if you want to use it for your own social media, there'll be a link.
Yeah,
link
we will.
It. Your website or anything you want to do, okay?
Great. And I should send you a picture of the book cover, is that right?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I'll do that
Very
right
good.
Now.
Take
Thank
care.
You. Thank you so much.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye.